sometimes it's a company you work for. They're like, oh, our revenue projections, our revenue. Revenue is a lie. What you need is free cash flow. And I sent a video to the guy where the guy at the end was saying cash flow, free cash flow, because that is what's important. But they don't say that. I had to find that out myself. But I am willing to share because I know that when I give one, I get 10 back. That religion or philanthropy is just a business maxim. And what we do is we use business and financial concepts because I have an MBA, Master's of Business Administration, an MBS, Master's of Science in Business. I have clients net worth $50 million. I was talking about a client today, to Jim, who will be in part two of the playoffs. He only works two. He's about 55 years old, 5 years older than I am. Only works 2 months out of the year to keep his mind sharp. And he owns an island off of Sarasota, Florida. And Shannon knows this place real good. That hill over there by Pacific Beach in La Jolla. The house on top of the hill. That's his house. So he lives there. Yeah, he lives there.
You're talking about Kate Sessions Park?
In Sunset Cliffs and stuff like that up there by Pacific Beach in La Jolla. Mm. It's called some sort of hill, man. And he lives there 10 months out of the year. 2 months out of the year, he lives off his island off Sarasota, Florida, off Inglewood, Florida, right? Where they thought that guy who killed that girl went to. Like, no, this is my island. That's who you get financial advice from, right? That's who I get financial advice from because he knows what he's doing. Other than that, I wouldn't get financial advice from somebody who does that. So what we do is we use business and financial concepts to bet on football games because it's the same thing. I mean, the sports betting market is going to end up being a $1 trillion market with a T. Where else all that money can't just all go to Steve Wynn? They have to cut us in somehow. So what we do is we use the same way you pick a stock. And I'm a stock picker for a guy. Hey, it sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. It used to be $50 million. It's now $85. I manage $85 million. But some guy who manages $850 million, 10 times more than me. Other guys manage $8 billion. Which is 100 times more than I manage. Well, one of those guys asked me to pick stocks because he knows me. Actually, I met him at the gym 10 years ago. Right? And I pick stocks for him and his portfolio. He gives me a cut. So I know how to pick stocks. He trusts me to pick stocks and gives me a cut. Before I had that license, I picked stocks for him. You know what he did? He gave me a $20 Starbucks gift card. I had made him like $100 million in his clients because I didn't have the license. So I got a Series 7 license. I have the book around here. So if I get raided by FINRA or the SEC, because I'm poor middle class, and they're like, how the hell? What's going on? But the same process I use to pick stocks is the same process I use to pick football games and college basketball games, right? To the much of the chagrin of Chad, who wants to bet the whole board, the Missouri Valley Conference. Oh, that's a subject for another day.
I only had eight college basketball players. Only eight. Not an actual.
Short term, man. Salesmen think short term. Businessmen and women think long term. We're talking about long term, sustainable, scalable strategy. But that's for after the Super Bowl. We'll get into that. But. Right? You have to have a purpose, a specific purpose, specificity in an outcome. So the outcome is 35 straight weeks of profit, right? Doing that because it's a business, scalable and repeatable. So we've been 30 years in the podcast. If you take the average, the aggregate of 3 years, we're at 63%. This year, we're at 60% better known as 59.71. Right, Jason, who's done a great job with the spreadsheets, done an awesome job. We call that 60% because we got some plus money line bets in there that pushes the money past that 60% threshold conservatively, maybe 62-63%. But we're happy with our bankroll. It's been a crazy year. We should be like those other podcasts at 20%. We gave up and quit, but no, we made it to the playoffs. All right. So we're in the playoffs. Playoffs is completely different. Like the teams, we really start at 0-0. So this is going to be part one of a two-part series. This part, we're going to prognosticate the games and tell you, because remember, it's a three-part process. Games you bet right away. So there's some games that I saw, I bet it right away because I've seen this movie before. I've seen all the – because remember – you're competing against the casino. You're competing against the sports book. You're competing against other bettors, right? And you're competing against yourself, if you heard the hospitals. And you're competing against Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, as far as taxes, right? I urge, we don't talk about politics here, but we're one single issue podcast when it comes to politics. That's gambling earnings on sports betting should be treated the same way or better than horse track, where you deduct your losses from your winnings, and your winnings should only be taxed at 10, maybe 15% max. We got to get Scott to lobby for that in Massachusetts, and we'll do our part here in California to lobby for that. So another business maxim that Joe Judge, right? We do the Hawthorne effect, so we're not like Joe Judge. He goes into the meeting with the mayors, and he's like, oh, I'm here so I can tell you why I should be general manager. No, you're here because you're fired, right? If you're the smartest, toughest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. He had Freddie Kitchens in his room. Here we got Scott, who he was just, you know, sharing with me. The good money he made this year, and I'll quantify that, right? Can you guys see that?
The average American, yes, that's me.
Yes, all right, so that's Scott. So hypothetically, right, I encourage Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren to now, ARS agents, to exit the podcast at this point, but the average American is $66,000. So if a big if, right? If Scott made $15,000 or $20,000 betting on sports and fantasy, right? He's made almost half of what the average American makes. Sports betting. But he had a little bit more fun laughing, having a good time watching the games through some value equation, right? So if Josh made $100,000 just on NFL, he makes twice as much as the average American. Sports betting, right? So really, that kind of boils it up. A specific purpose and a specific outcome that's repeatable and scalable, right? So that's what we're here for. What are you here for? That's what we're here for. The whys. That is whys. So you got to check all the marks in business, right? Check all the boxes. So if you're the toughest, smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So we got some people here who are smarter, tougher, and diverse. We got Scott from the Northeast, my age. And then you have Chad, who's younger than us, and gives us some fresh ideas, some things we don't think about. Plus, he's worked out with Josh Allen, right? He knows Josh Allen. Josh Allen wouldn't big time him. He'll be like, hey, Chad, what's going on? He'll talk to him. He knows Joe Burrow, right? He knows these guys. He's worked out with them, right? We're watching. Chad is playing. He's reporting March 1st to the Las Vegas Knights of the Arena Football League. After being a star in college, running to the goal line every time he was on the kickoff team, he's sprinted towards the goal line, right? Not like a days ago. And then we got Scott. So we'll go Scott and Chad before we get into these playoff games.
So Elizabeth and Bernie, you can come back now to the podcast. We're all done with the average American. this is playoff time, you know, 18 weeks of profit, you know, and profit going back to last year. So here we are, playoff time gets much, much tougher. Small amount of games. Right. Each team is pretty good in their own right. So I'm looking forward to hitting it big this week and making some more money for everybody, and myself is included. So
exactly. We bet on one, because the difference between us and Terry Bradshaw, Aaron Andrews, we could have a connection to Aaron Andrews, but we'll get on our podcast one day. Is that she and they get paid regardless of who wins. We only get paid when we win. Otherwise, we don't get paid, and we have problems with our relationships with wives, everybody, because we're not doing the highest and best use of our time, right? So winning, we have no choice. Plus, this is the richest country in the world, the history of the world. That's why it's $130 trillion market, U.S. For comparison, Russia is 1.5 trillion. China, 5 trillion. So as big as China is, and China's number two, supposedly, they're 5 trillion. We're 130 trillion. Sports betting is 1 trillion. Easily fancy could be 500 million, right? So even the crumbs we can do well with, right? The commoners as we are. Chad, what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I mean, smaller board this week, we're definitely able to put more time and a thought into each game and each pick. You know, we've been kind of preparing all year for this. I'm definitely going to up my units a little bit this week, probably add another 25 to 30% of what I've been betting all year. Increase my unit going into these because I'm feeling good about these picks. And I'm able to spend way more time on each game. I'm able to get more information from both of you, from Jim. We've got more notes than we've had on any other game. So I'm feeling good. And we're definitely putting the time and work in. And I mean, I've always noticed the more time and effort I put in to my picks, it's a direct correlation to having a higher winning percentage. So I'm ready to go.
Nice. First game we're going to look at. It's a game I already bet, right? So you're looking at three times, right? Because time is the only asset you can't get back. Right? And right away, we're going to start. When I say I've seen this movie before, it's always a basis. And I remember my dad's a minister. I'm not as religious as my dad or my family. But, you know, I spent a lot of time in church as a kid. And like, in the Bible in the beginning, they say so-and-so begets so-and-so. It's really boring. You know, so-and-so begets blah, 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 blah. They were talking the lineage, right? What forms opinion to predict outcomes, right? So they didn't say that in church, but it's what it is. So you look at Mike Homer, you're like, what are you talking about Mike Homer? He's not coaching in this game. Oh, yes, he is. The guy who designed the offense with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Raiders offense is our good friend and neighbor in Tampa, my wife's family, my dad getting him out of there, getting him to Washington, D.C. My brother's still around there. John Gruden, who drew plays with me with Jim Markham from the Arena League, where Chad's going to play. Tim Markham's. We used to clean his house. I ended up being his designated driver. We'd go out drinking with John Gruden in his office in Channelside, where he used to bring in Chip Kelly and all these offensive guys just spent a week breaking down film. So you got John Gruden, the mastermind of the flavor of the West Coast offense that Olsen is running, right? You can't just switch everything midstream. When he got fired for non-football reasons, he's suing, right? And he beget John McVay, Shanahan, who are both in the playoffs that we'll talk about later. So Zach Taylor is running that offense. Now, pop quiz. Scott, when Zach Taylor was the quarterback at the University of Nebraska, who was his head coach?
Not Tom Osborne. It was it Scott Frost?
Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan. All right. Yeah.
Easy offensive coordinator for your Cleveland Clowns.
Yeah.
All right. So that shows you how incestuous this all is. That is all to say, Raiders plus six under 50, complimentary football. The Raiders are at a disadvantage, right? Because they just played Sunday night. They played an overtime game. So you have to keep the defense and Mad Max fresh, right? You got to keep them fresh. So the score's going to be under. Burrow, this is his first season back, right, from the injury.
Yes.
If you haven't known this, more about this, because he was actually saw the man, worked out with him. Gus Bradley has the advantage. This whole year, veteran defensive coordinators have had an advantage on young quarterbacks. So is Zach Taylor, from his conservative background, going to take a lot of chances, Burrow? First playoff games. Now, I have a friend of mine who's worked at five front offices. One of the front offices he worked with, the Cincinnati Bengal front office. So, do the Bengals want to play? And in addition to that, I would encourage in The Athletic to read in between the lines the interview with Marvin Lewis, where, you know, people confess in weird ways. If you talk to somebody for 30 minutes, they'll confess to you their whole life story. So he kind of confessed in that article, if you read it, saying, oh, well, they blame round four in the playoffs is unfair, right? What are they blaming? They're saying that the seven losses in the playoffs was because he does not want to pay travel costs. And this is not the first owner who's been accused of this. Do the Bengals want to play travel costs? Or are they controlling things by giving Zach Taylor 15 jobs, right? Because you look at corporate governance. From a corporate governance standpoint, when you look at Zach Taylor, who's the offensive coordinator, head coach, quarterback coach, head of scouting, and 11 other jobs, versus Gus Bradley, who just has to focus on defense, right? And then I'll close with this and let you guys let me know what you think. Played this for you earlier about how much money people are making. So Gus Bradley just has to focus on defense. And let's learn from Mike Griffiths. He's from Southern Football Down South. He covers them Georgia Bulldogs as those Dugs hunt in and cover for us on the money line and the under. The 4-2-5 defense they all play. We'll get into that on Friday. Go ahead, Mr. Griffiths. My wife's from the Griffiths family.
In terms of how Jimmy Sexton and Kirby are negotiating Kirby's extension right now, I mean, this might have been a $20 or $25 million win for Kirby Smart if he gets a guaranteed contract, like I think he will.
So $20 to $25 million win for Kirby Smart. So how much money is this win for Gus Bradley? Well, Scott and then Chad, what are your thoughts on that game?
So I was just flipping through as we were talking. Jim Coventry sent us. Behind the scenes, just sent a bunch of notes to us. So I was reading through. He seems to think that the Raiders are going to have a problem running the ball against Cincinnati. He thinks that Cincinnati's it's a top seven defensive unit against the run, which I did not take into account, which means the game is going to fall on Derek Carr's shoulders. Cincinnati struggled to put up 32 because Burrow only threw for 148 yards in that game. And Chase only caught three passes for 32 yards. So it looked like he was saying it was more of a Boyd and Higgins type of game. Cincinnati's got explosive firepower across the board. Mixon's coming back from COVID, and I think we were the first on this podcast to say that guys come back from COVID struggle in their first game. I know he's had a week of practice. I know that stuff like that. But if you look at it, Tyreek Hill, Austin Eckler, Travis Kelce, those guys struggled in their first game back. Aaron Rodgers said he was very tired after the game when he came back from COVID. So I don't know how Mixon's going to react to this coming back from COVID. I think the game is going to go slightly under.
Uppers.
I think the game's going to go slightly under. I don't think the Raiders are going to have enough firepower to, you know, defensively, they'll be able to stop Burrow to an extent. They'll get pressure on Burrow. How he handles that pressure, I don't know. Nobody knows. It's his first playoff game. I read a stat today. Guys are 4-8 against the spread in their first playoff game. So having said that, I'm going to take the Raiders. I'm going to say they're going to keep it close, be emotional off that win. Although, remember, they are coming through three time zones to play an earlier game on Saturday. So their travel, their practice schedule is going to be interrupted. They're going to have to travel a day earlier than normal. But I still think that they can hang in with the Bengals and keep it close. So I'll take the Raiders plus the points, and I'll take the under.
Yeah.
Chad. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think both teams defensively, I think the Raiders defensively will be ready to go. And I agree with Jim, with the Bengals front seven. So I definitely think that this is going to be a lower scoring game, come in more around 43-45. So I love the under here, and I think the Raiders are going to be able to do just enough here to keep this. I think this is going to be a field goal game down to the wire. I think the Raiders could win this game outright possibly. I don't think it's out of the question at all. To me, it's a 50-50 coin flip on who wins the game. So I got to go with the Raiders with the 6 points here because I think they could possibly win this one. So, yeah. Raiders with the points plus six and the under. I'm in total agreement. I like those a lot.
Right. Now, one of the mistakes I made during the season was not doing enough research. And so now I'm making up for it, right? So we see the Mike Holmgren tree, right? Mr. John David Gruden. So you start researching Gus Bradley. And you look at the 2006 Tampa Bay coaching staff. Very interesting staff, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Look at the cast of characters in here. You got Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator for your Green Bay Packers. Look who's your special teams coach, right? Rich Bisaccia, right? He's the head coach of your Raiders. Defensive coordinator. Monty Kiffin, right? Jethro Franklin, one of the best defensive line coaches out there. Jimmy Lake, Chad Nolan. Yeah. Your guy, Jimmy Lake, who was the head coach of Washington when your brother plays, right? So, so we were one degree away from Jimmy Lake, right? Chad's brother, Jimmy Lake. Where's Gus Bradley? Oh, Casey Bradley. Casey Bradley was his name back then. I don't know where it changed from Gus to Casey. He was defensive control coach. Casey Bradley was really Gus Bradley. All right? It's the same movie we've seen over and over again. The same team, same schemes against each other. All right? That's where we're able to get 35 straight weeks of profit. And do a lot better in playoff games because it's not as easy as the regular season. It's not as the Giants offensive coordinator is Freddie Kitchens, the guy who you went 16-0 betting against him when he was head coach at Cleveland. Oh, it's not. You got to do your research on this. But in the heavy hitters. So Consensus is, are you guys buying the half a point or leaving it at 5.5?
I bought it to 6 too.
All right, yep. So the consensus is 6. Right, so Jason did a great job for us. The consensus is +6, under 49. Next game that evening, we'll go to our New England Patriots expert. It's New England at Buffalo. I sent you guys the article with Kim Pegula, the golden wife of Pegula, is throwing at $750 million for a new stadium. The hardworking blue-collar people of upstate New York are being asked to pay $750 million themselves for a total of $1.5 billion. We'll ask you what your thoughts are on the game, Scott, and I'll give you another pop quiz. The profit from $750 million that the people are throwing in with tax dollars that they're forced to pay, football and non-football, fan, who gets the profit from that?
Pegula's get the profit on that, I think.
Kim Pegula, that would be. Yeah, Pegula. Daddy Pegula is on his last legs. He's old.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just read you basically the first paragraph of what Jim wrote, and then we can go from there. Okay. Wednesday morning forecast calls for -1 degree with 6 mile per hour winds, which would be -13 wind chill. This will be uncomfortable. The ball will get hotter than usual, which could impact a consistent passing attack, although it's not a deal breaker. The Patriots will likely want to play ball control and drain the play clock. Last thing is note, Steph Diggs has complained that Josh Allen often throws the ball too hard in a game when the ball is a rock. That could be worse for the receivers. So, having said that, Jim thinks this may be more of a running game, which in that weather, I completely agree. That works to the Patriots' advantage, I think, for sure, because they've been doing it all year long. He also thinks that Josh Allen will run more than he has run in the past this year. The game is definitely going under. I can't see the game going over. I can almost see a repeat final score as it was the first time in Buffalo, which was, I believe, 13-10 or 13-7 or something like that.
Right.
So this game is definitely going under. It is not going to get anywhere near the 44 or something I think it's at right now. I will take Buffalo at home to squeak out or just barely over the spread. I think Buffalo is going to be able to do enough. Josh Allen is going to be able to do enough on the ground with his feet to get those three key first downs that you need as a quarterback. And again, as we've talked about,
30% of the game.
Yep. And as I've also said, quarterbacks making their first start in the playoffs are 4-8 against the spread. So with all that factoring in and Buffalo being home and the crowd being in a complete frenzy for a Saturday night playoff game, I will take Buffalo squeaking by the point spread, and I'm definitely taking the under. That's a lock for me. The under is almost a lock for me. It's going to be cold. I agree with Jim. The ball's going to be hot as a rock. If Josh Allen's throwing rockets to his receivers, they're not going to want to. They're going to make those business decisions that we've talked about and let a couple of balls drop in key situations. So that's where I'm going with this. It's going to be close to the spread, but I think Buffalo is going to just squeak it over. So that's my thoughts.
What do you think?
Man, I love the under here too. I think it's going to be very, very reminiscent of that snow blizzard game that we saw style-wise. I think we see a lot of running. You said there's going to be how much wind?
6 miles per hour, Jim said, as of Wednesday morning. So that could change.
The wind's not going to be a factor at 6.
No, that won't be a factor. But yeah, I mean, just this cold weather environment and just both teams have really good defenses. This is the under. I love the under here. On the side, You know, I don't have a pick yet. I don't have a pick to give on the side yet. I'm leaning right now, before the podcast, I was leaning the Patriots plus four. I think Scott's making some good points here. Definitely I'm going to reevaluate and kind of listen to what Jim has to say. I probably won't make that pick till Friday on the side here. You know, it's just tough to, right now it's just tough for me to fade Belichick getting 4 points. You know, it's over that key number. I could easily see the Bills like winning by three in a low scoring game at the end. You know, so maybe this might be, I might be looking at maybe Bills money line, Patriots plus four and middle it. But yeah, I'm gonna take some more time on this pick. I just haven't been able to come to a side yet. But the under looks really good. I like this under a lot. I think this one will stay under 40 probably.
Josh, right. Are you doing a Saturday live stream?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gonna do a little bit more research, but I might change my pick. But right now I'm gonna stay Buffalo in the under. So, right. But I might change it.
Yeah, I'm Buffalo in the under. I'm going to wait to that Saturday live stream because I think people are foolishly going to pick the overs. That's what they do. They get to the casino. It's cold. They're not even supposed to go up because of Omicron. But people are going to go anyways. It's going to be full. And they're going to get a white Russian. That's what I would have. I get to the casino. I would get a white Russian. Right, relax a little bit because I already have a bet with a proxy somewhere, so I'm doing a double bet, and with liquored up, right? Liquored up, people are going to bet the overs. So I like it to get like an over, right? Or I'm going to bet it now, right? Under 46, because you know ESPN, all those people listening to me right now. You're going to be listening on Friday. They're going to be formulating their opinions and kind of manipulate people on the weather, right? They're going to say, oh, the weather, da, da, da. So people might go crazy on the under and make it too low. It might be 29, right? So that's something you're going to look at and then make a decision on. But right now, I like plus four, bell sheet, because I think it's a 13-10 game. One thing to look at, details matter, right? So in the Raiders game, the Raiders are horrible at details. I think they have high awareness because this is the playoffs and they're going to be a new regime. So since it's a new regime going in, players are going to be at their best behavior as far as attention.
And don't forget, the one point we're missing here is Belichick did not want to play Buffalo. He was thinking he was playing Cincinnati. And then all this crazy stuff happened in the, you know, with the Chargers Raiders game Sunday night. So I think he wanted it to lose the game on Sunday, get Cincinnati because he thought Cincinnati was going to be the 3 seed. He thought Indy was going to beat Jacksonville. So he was trying to avoid Buffalo, and he got Buffalo. So that's another thing, too.
Listen to the podcast. Belichick should have listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
Tony Carson Wentz is not going to be himself.
Yep.
It's going to be hot, and the Colts don't have any backups.
Right, that's what he's
going to come back on them.
Right. But that was all into his thinking for that Miami game. Let's lose the game. Indy's going to beat Jacksonville. They'll elevate to the 5 seed. Cincinnati will be the 3 seed, and we'll play Cincinnati in the first round, and we'll beat them because they haven't been in this spot before. But now he gets Buffalo, and that's something.
They fell from the 5 seed to the 6 seed with that.
And Buffalo won, and they went up to the 3 seed. So now it just, you know, so now that's another.
Yeah, thing. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see where this line goes to. If people are looking to look at the Patriots and Belichick with the points and just take them, you know, because I mean, if we can get under that key number of three,
the thing about Belichick was that he was laughing at him after they won the other game. So, I mean, he might have had that strategy because they thought that he might have been the best for him, but I don't think he's really concerned about the Bills. The Bills are going to sit there in zone, and Josh McDaniels is going to come up with zone beaters that he hasn't used all season that Mac Jones has practiced all season. Make him feel comfortable. Mac Jones won a national title, so he knows how to play in big games. He's not going to be challenged by the moment, and these are zone beaters. It's not a mystery what McDermott's going to do. He's going to sit there in Andy Reid's zone and wait for Mac Jones to make a mistake. He's not going to make a mistake. Right? He's not going to be allowed to make a mistake. But he is going to have some zone beaters. One of these guys, N'Kobe Myers, one of these guys that played that we saw, that Alabama's guy was slow. But if it was Jerry Jeudy, he was gone. So if N'Kobe Myers can split that zone, you're going to run behind Isaiah Wynn from St. Petersburg, Florida, Lakewood High, up there, my boys. Run behind him. Belichick wins this game 16-13 or loses 13-10. Regardless, we don't care who wins. We care who covers the spread, and it's going to be way under. Right? Any last thoughts before we move on to those Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I'm all good.
I'm all good, too.
All right. Tampa Bay against Philadelphia. I think this is a huge coaching mismatch, right? Huge coaching mismatch. Satriani, I like him. I think he's going to be a really good coach as we move along here. Not as good as coach as we want right now. First time defensive coordinator going against Tom Brady. Let me see in Tampa. The weather's actually been good in Tampa lately. So the Tampa weather. On Sunday, it's going to be raining. 54 degrees for the low. The game's going to be at... it's going to be the early game. So it's going to be like 1 o'clock. So it's going to be lovely 75 humidity. So Tampa Bay, second half line. I'm going to bet that. I'm going to ask Jim on Friday how he looks at the schemes. And does it favor Scotty Miller, right? Scotty Miller caught one pass for 9 yards. His over-under was like 8 yards, so we won Scotty Miller. So Scotty Miller is going to be my player prop. I like Tampa Bay. I like this game to go over, especially with those conditions in the second half. Jalen Hurts. Who's a better quarterback, Jalen Hurts or Tom Brady? So Jalen Hurts is going to have to run all day. You're going to have to try to run on Todd Bowles. He knows this. This looks like first game of the day blowout. So, to set everybody up, they're going to give him some money in the beginning of this, like a good pool hustler, and give you Tampa Bay -8 over 46. What do you think, Scott and Chad?
So, I did a little bit of research on this game, and I came up with this. So, the Buccaneers are 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 as home favorites.
Right.
They're 9-8 overall against the spread. They've scored 28 points in 7 of their last 8 games. So they're good for basically 30 points every game.
Right, they but that's regular season football. This is going to be playoffs. Right,
regular season football. Now, they beat Philly their first game, but they only beat them by 6, and I think Philly scored a late touchdown to get that back to 6. Hurts had 2 touchdowns on the ground the first game. So reading Jim's notes – before we started, they seem to tend to have a problem against mobile quarterbacks. So that works in the Hurts' favor. But I think Tampa Bay is going to do what Tampa Bay does, which is throw the ball to Gronk, throw the ball to Evans, throw the ball to whoever is available. Fournette is probably going to be back for this game. That gives them another offensive weapon to use.
Right.
And Gio Bernard is a very good pass blocking running back. So they have a lot of weapons, at more weapons than they've had in a few weeks at their disposal. Right. I love Brady in the spot. I'm taking Tampa at home. I'm taking them to win by at least 10 points. And I'm taking the under on this. I think it's going to just go under the under. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay at home. I think they're going to be able to stop the Philly running game. They're a very good run defensive unit. So I don't think Philadelphia is going to have a lot of success running the ball. I think Hurts is going to have to throw. He's going to have to make a couple throws in key situations in the second quarter, early third, to try to stay in the game. I don't think he's going to be able to do it. So I like Tampa, and I like the under in this game.
Yeah. So we have a tie. So you guys want to do a tie? Jack can break the tie, or we can discuss the ties with Jim on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I can break it now, but I think we should definitely – I mean, I'll have my picks, but we should definitely go back and attack it again, I think, because I think those ones we split on are the – you know, those are the ones that it always comes down to the – that we got to hash it out. But, I mean, here – I mean, I'm with you guys on Brady. You got to take Brady at home, man. Like, betting against Brady at home in this spot is dumb. Don't do it. Right. That number as a home favorite, they're – you know, take Tampa Bay here. The total here, though, I am looking at this one to get slightly over. It's at 46. I think they can get to 7 touchdowns, and this one can get to 49. They played in the regular season game. It was 28-22. That game got to 50. So I'm thinking something very along those same similar lines, but maybe like a 31-17 type game here. I think
like 34-10 or 41-10.
Yeah, I'm taking
the top goals against a rookie quarterback is a recipe for disaster for Philadelphia and Satriani.
Yeah.
This is the first.
I mean, I just think that, you know, the Eagles head coach is an offensive guy. He's got to have some stuff in the bag here, some type of stuff with Jalen Hurts. I think they'll be able to get to 14-17. They should be able to score something. You know, Jalen Hurts, it's a playoff game. He's a competitor. You know, I like him to take off, you know, lay out his body on the line. He's got a whole offseason to recover from any big hits. So, I mean, I like him to run around a little bit, throw his body around, and get this thing to pop over. I think 46 is a little low. I think it should be more, you know, 48.5, 49. So that's where I'm at with this game right now.
So I'm going to switch to the over, number one. I'm going to go over. Okay. And then number two, I'm going to go Tampa's at 27.5 team total. I'm going to go over that. I think they're going to get to 30. So
yeah, I like them to get to over 30, like at least over 30.5 for sure.
Yep. So
you said it's at 27.5?
27.5 right now. Yep.
Yeah, the Eagles just defensively they're just not in the same realm right now as a Brady offense and a Brady in this environment, man. Brady's been doing this shit for as long as I've been alive. So,
yeah.
All right. So I'll give you an example right now. We'll do more of this with Jim. Right. And Chad's really the expert, so he can check me on this. But when you look at plus one, right. So plus one, what you're saying is in this box, so we got triplets, right? You got three to the right, two to the left. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blockers, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's just a two by – that's 2x2, Josh.
2x2?
Yeah, 2x2.
2x2. Oh, no, you're right. You got 2x2. You got your running back. So you have 4, 5, 9 people blocking. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? You have 9 blockers and 8 defenders. This is New England. This is Josh Allen. So this is Jalen Hurts, right? This is your 4-2, 1-2-3-4-5, right? Defense you used to run in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
4-2-5. 4-2-5. Yeah. That one. Now he's standing up, so he can go wherever. So when we talk about zone blitz, that is what Todd Bowles is going to do to Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts has to think like Josh Allen and say, okay, is he dropping back in coverage? And this guy's blitzing? Now look at his eyes, right? His eyes is in the backfield. So he could blitz, but he has a guy, maybe this guy crosses over or he checks, whatever. So let's see what happens on this play. All right. Wait for Chad to come back.
I'm back.
All right, man. All right, so let's watch what happens on this play. All right? So this is the first part of the play. Play action pass, which we hear about a lot from back in the day from Madden. You got your play action pass. Let me go back there. So going back. Look at his eyes are in the backfield. So I think they're making this dynamic call. He's coming. He's still making the call as a snap. This guy could rush. It looks like these guys are in coverage and this guy's coming. Then you have the play action pass. All right. So who bit for it, right? Nobody bit for his play action. He's got him. But remember, right? He's got him. He's got him. Who has Josh Allen? No one. So since no one has Josh Allen right here, that is your plus one. Is that right, Chad? Yep. Everybody's occupied. He's plus one. Nobody's looking at Allen. Quarterback makes three first down with his legs. He wins 75% of the time. Go back to throw. Boom. Nobody has Allen. Boom. Nobody has Allen. He's gone. Trying to catch him. Boom. This guy's blocking. So the fact that this guy is blocking, what does that say? Well, look back. This is a designed run for Josh Allen. All right. We'll look at it again. Play action. He knows he's not taking the ball. He's blocking. He's looking for who to block. This guy right here. See, he's creating that lane for him, for Josh Allen. Josh Allen goes back. Josh Allen's quick. Chad worked out with him. Boom, he's gone. Boom, we're in the red zone. So that's what Jalen Hurts needs to do to Tampa Bay, right?
And I think that's why Tampa Bay is going to have a shadow on Hurts the whole game. I don't think they're going to allow him to. I think they think the only way.
Because I always think, Chad, in the open field, you can shake somebody's shadow, right? Chad goes on over there. But we'll ask Jim. We'll talk to him, Jim, about people who shadow out in the open field. Usually I think the quarterback can shake that person.
I think Tampa thinks the only way Philly's going to beat them this weekend is if Hurts runs crazy against them. And that's the only way I think they think that. So,
right. Even in the second half, running after Hurts, it's going to be a problem in that heat.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the only shot Philadelphia really has. And then if their defense is, because in the first half it was three and out, that Philly defense is going to be winded.
Yeah,
that's the value of having Todd Bowles. All right, so that's plus one. We'll get into more of that on Friday. San Francisco plus three at Dallas. I forgot what game I was watching or listening. Oh, yeah, it was Indianapolis and Jacksonville. And the sideline guy for Jacksonville says, wow, you got to chill out. Colts, because you guys are sweaty, right? While Jacksonville is loose. San Francisco is going to be the loser football team here. I'm going to go San Francisco plus four, under 51. Way too many. This is the playoffs. McCarthy, salesmen think short term, businessmen think long term. McCarthy has won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. He's a Mike Holmgren guy. They want to keep things under wraps. Totally different than last week. San Francisco is going to have their running shoes on and run the ball on Dallas. Dallas is not going to have their four streamers in there all the time. They want to keep that defensive line fresh for the second half. And that's going to give Shanahan, master strategist, he's gotten two teams to the Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator. Daddy Shanahan won two Super Bowls. They know what to do in big games. Dallas is going to be tight. I don't trust CeeDee Lamb. I think he's going to drop the ball, being wide open. They need to go to Toomer early. But regardless, John Lynch is going to dial up something for Dak. So it's McCarthy against John Lynch. John Lynch was a Super Bowl with Gruden and Joe Barry and Monty Kiffin and all them boys. Gus Bradley, formerly known as Casey Bradley. Gus, get him a job. So I'm dialing up your 49ers. So after a blowout and over, close game, tight game, and under, Garoppolo. Is Garoppolo going to toss it up in that zone, right? I don't think they're going to give him a chance. Debo Samuels, that play I'm talking about with Jerry Jeudy and stuff. I'll dial that up for Friday, the play I'm talking about. Split that zone. Dallas is going to be in zone. Another prop. It's like a bowl game, right? Dan Quinn, who won a Super Bowl with Pete Carroll, is interviewing for jobs. He's seeing Kirby Smart making $25 million in a game. He's already got his money because he's really got Dallas in a good spot. He did well. Where is he at in the interview process? And is he focused as we would like him to be going against not just anybody? We're talking about Shanahan, who got Matty Ice to the Super Bowl, and then got Garoppolo to the Super Bowl. So coaching advantage goes to John Lynch and Shanahan, and I'm dialing up. I'm covering my ass, though. I'm going San Francisco +4, under 41. What do you think about this game, Scott?
So a couple against the spread things. Dallas is 12-4-1 against the spread. When they are favored by 3 points or more, they are 10-4 against the spread. So that's them. The past four seasons in the playoffs, road teams are 15-3 against the spread. So that's the trend right there. Right. I'm looking at more than
what was that last stat, Scott?
Road teams are 15-3 the past four seasons in the playoffs against the spread. Wow. 15-3. So San Francisco. Yeah.
Get to know well enough that that's what I think. The dogs sometimes will hunt, especially this Monday night, those dogs were hunting.
Right. So here's my thought with this game. Is Zeke gonna be the Zeke of 3 years ago? Or is Zeke gonna be the Zeke of he's over the cliff and on the wrong side of the cliff? So right. We go back to Jim's notes, and I'll go back to those notes again. He thinks that the 49ers are going to – the defense for Dallas over-pursues a lot, so he thinks the 49ers are going to run a lot of cutback stuff to get some holes.
So Jim and I are in agreement. San Francisco is going to be able to run the ball on Dallas.
Yep, I believe so. You know, and I think Debo's going to be a big part of that. I think Debo's going to get a few more runs than, you know, he's going to get 8 to 12 runs in this game. I think his athleticism is going to be a tough thing for Dallas to handle. The one team Dallas did not want to see in the playoffs, they're seeing on Sunday, is San Francisco. Yep. I think San Francisco's going to cover the spread. The game is going to be on Dak's shoulders, and which Dak are we going to see? We're going to see the Washington Philly Dak. Or are we going to see the Dak that comes out and struggles a little bit? That's to be seen.
Once he gets popped, he's a different guy. I'm going to pop you type of defense.
Exactly. So I'm going to say San Francisco covers. I may pick them on the money line come our live stream on Saturday. I'm not sure. But I think the game is going to go under because I think San Francisco is going to do what you and Jim think they're going to do, which is run the ball a lot and bleed the clock.
He's not allowed to snap the ball with more than 1 or 2 seconds left.
Right. So I think San Francisco could win this game outright. I think they could shock them, but I'm not picking that as of right now. I'm taking them with the points and I'm going the under. I agree with what you and Jim are saying. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff San Francisco can do on offense. So
100%.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm with you guys here. I think if you like San Francisco in this game, if you think San Francisco will have success running the ball, this game is an under game all the way. The only way this game could possibly get over is if San Francisco is having trouble running the ball, and now they get behind and they got to throw it, and both teams, you know, it could possibly turn into that type of track meet. I don't think either team wants it to go there. So yeah, I think the under here, I think 50 and a half is just too big of a number here. Again, I think Sam.
Remember, Dallas is a public team. People yeah. love it in Dallas.
And
so when we do that live stream, this will be Sunday live stream. We'll be live streaming every night, every day.
Yeah, that line's probably going to go up to 4, 4.5. So I like San Francisco. I think if they have success running the ball, that they will win this game outright. You know, Dallas has kind of been that team, you know, last few years. They've been a first round, you know, first round of the playoff, been bounced out. You know, they haven't had a deep playoff run. It's kind of been their MO, you know, for the last few years since they've kind of been, you know, been decent, you know, winning that division for the last, you know, few years. So, I think this is prime. I'm going to take 80. I'm going to put 20% of my unit would be on San Francisco on the money line. 80% of my unit. Right. So you're betting $100. 80 right. bucks, San Francisco +4, and then 20 bucks on the money line. So that's how I'm approaching this one. I'm going to sprinkle the money line here, take San Francisco with the points, and under 50 and a half.
San Francisco is the most dangerous team in the NFL playoffs this year. That's the team that's most dangerous right now.
They're if I had to pick one dog to win outright, right. this would be my pick right here on the board out of all six games.
100%. A guy who's done it before. Kyle Shanahan. Next game, I think it's going to be an Andy Reid special, public special. I think the public is going to drive this up to over 14 points. Over-under is 46. Now, I think it might go higher. Depending on the weather in Kansas City, I'll look it up. But I like Super Bowl winning coach Mike Tomlin, that with this current team right now, he went into Buffalo first game of the season and beat Josh Allen and McDermott. Andy Reid knows he has an advantage here. They played a few weeks ago. It was a blowout. So someone like the zigzag, it's really hard to blow out a professional football team twice. It's really hard to blow out a Super Bowl winning coach with a lot of pride. And Tomlin took his head out on a limb. He's like, why aren't you asking Andy Reid about college, right? Now, I'm going to send this letter to Tomlin and say, hey, when they're saying college, man, you work for a cheap family-owned team, the Rooneys. You're making $4 million a year. If you would have gone to USC, you would have been making $13 million. USC college would have tripled your salary. So this report, we're talking about money, right? They were not talking about what was in your head at that time, which was, oh, these white coaches that won Super Bowls like Andy Reid and Sean Payton. You ain't asking them about college. No, it's about money, man. Not about anything else other than money. Keep follow the money. Focus. But he threw it out there. So now he's going against Andy Reid in the playoffs. Have blown him out once. Andy Reid just wants to win the game. He doesn't want to humiliate or embarrass anybody. He wants to be friends with everybody. So I see this as a 21-10 game. So Kansas City will win this game 21-10. Game's going under, and they will not cover over 14 points. So that's where I'm going with that. What do you guys think?
I'm going to Chiefs in this situation. I'm not on Big Ben at all. He has regressed so much right now. He's not even throwing the ball 5 to 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. It's different. He's the last four games. His YPA has gotten worse and worse, basically to the point where he's just throwing screen passes to his receivers and hoping they can make plays. That's not a recipe against Kansas City that's going to lead to a lot of success. So Kansas City, Spagnuolo is probably basically in practice saying, okay, everybody up. They're only throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have to throw a ball deep to loosen us up. And I don't think Big Ben can do that right now. I think his arm is just gone. I think his shoulder and arm is just totally gone right now. They are probably surprised they are in this playoff game. I think they basically said before the Cleveland game, Monday night in week 17, let's go out. Let's give Big Ben his last hurrah. Let's win this game for him. We'll go to Baltimore, see where it falls, and then the season is over. So I love the Chiefs in this situation. I think they're going to jump on Pittsburgh early. I don't think it's going to be a 36-10 game like last time. I'm looking more like a 28-10 type of game. I think it is going to go under. I think it's going to probably be extremely cold in Kansas City. I think the ball is going to be hot as a rock like in Buffalo and the Patriots game. So I'm going Kansas City. I'm giving the points, and I'm going to go the under in this.
We have not a cult, right? Everybody can have their own opinion of what they think, and it's good. It might change my mind. So in this, you know, breaking this tie, question I have for Chad and Jim, old school, the way we grew up, Scott, with the Raiders, Al Davis saying, listen, you know what we're doing. You're going to stack the box. We don't care. You can't stop us. And that's what Tomlin's going to tell whoever his running back is, their offensive line. So describe for us, Chad, because you went through this a little bit, right? You would have an advantage on the outside. You would tell your coaches, and your coaches would say, shut up, Chad. We're not doing the screen. We're going to let the defense dictate what we're going to do. They were, you know, okay. How about running against a stacked box? That's nothing that Chance would never do, right? Because he's going to look at the front. He's got two plays in his head, and he's going to pick the right play.
Yeah, that's why.
Running against the stacked box, how does that work? Because that's what they're going to do. That's what Tomlin from the Citadel toughness is going to be. I don't care if there are nine guys on the box. We're just going to smash, right? We're just going to go Mike Allstott style, and we're just going to smash mouth football. It's cold. Mahomes can't throw it anyways.
Yeah. You know, let's go. I'm surprised that Pittsburgh's not kind of running more RPO scheme with Ben because, like, he can make that short throw. So if they put that flat defender in a bind, you know, with the, you know, where he's just reading that flat defender to see if he's going to suck it on the run. He can throw that little 5-yard hitch to the spot.
Friday we'll find that.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, with that stack box, man, you run that RPO stuff, it really can line it up quick, you know. And I think if they come out with an RPO type scheme, you know, because Ben can't push the ball down the field, but you know, he's got a great mind. He can make reads and make the right read, you know. And that RPO game is really tough for that nickel backer, that, you know, that nickel safety, you know, that nickel cornerback that's in there. That's, you know, you're reading, you're in zone, you know, you're reading run, you know, just alignment, especially with teams trying to stack the box, you know, throw that hitch a couple times on RPO, that box is going to loosen up. It'll be interesting to see, you know, I don't know why, you know, that's the same thing with my brother at Oregon State, you know, he's run that RPO in high school at Middle Tennessee and in JUCO. He's a mastermind. He loves that RPO. He has three options. You know, he gets to be right every time. He can give it, he can pull it, hit the hitch, he can pull it and run it. He can pull it, and he's got a pitch man on the outside, you know?
I'm seeing that game. This Buffalo sort of running an RPO. So here's Josh Allen. So bam, all right. So this is kind of like zone read. So it's kind of like an RPO. So he can what?
Yeah, he can run it. He can give it, or it looks like he's got a flat route down there on the tight end, running to the flat. He can hit.
Right. This guy's
down. He could throw that. Yeah, he could give it. He could run it, or he can throw that flat you're on right now. Yeah, he's got four options.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what Big Ben will be able to cover for us, plus 14, 15 points, whatever it balloons to before the game.
Yeah, I will say, though, if you agree with Scott in that Kansas City line, bet it now.
Bet it now.
I'm thinking this game. I'm thinking, I'm thinking this game hits like right around 14.
Right.
You know, so really, this might be another one. You can snag the Chiefs at 12.5 and get them 14 and get Pittsburgh plus 14.5. I mean, a super nice middle. If I'm handicapping this game, I got Kansas City by 14. I got them winning this one, 27-13, 27.
I'm 24-13. They beat them by 11 points, stayed under four. Because it's 24-14, they stopped Big Ben, right? Because this guy in the Big Ben game, this guy's going to be over here, right? So this game's going to be played in a phone booth, right? It's going to be played in a phone booth. This guy's actually here, right? Trying to take that away and try to take this kind of stuff away. And you're just going to have to run against the interior lineman. So 24-13, 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, Pittsburgh gets stopped. They punt it to Kansas City. Kansas City is not going to try to score again. Andy Reid is going to run the ball to try to run out the clock, get him over the spread. And I've been that many, many times, and Andy Reid's cash for it.
The thing with that plan, the couple of points that I'll make, the thing with that plan is Pittsburgh's been awful against the run the last four or five games of the season. Been awful. Yeah. Okay, Cook ran all over them against they played Minnesota. You know, teams have been running all over them the last four or five games. And the guy that's the most important player in this game is Najee Harris. He has got to loosen that defense up for Kansas City, for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
To enable Ben to take some shots, maybe intermediate shots. Because Deontay Johnson against Cleveland, 8 catches for 31 yards. That's 2-point-something yards per catch. Makes me nervous.
Yeah, and Claypool, they're not even like – they know that Ben is so challenged at getting him the ball down the field. They have to give him touches on fly sweeps
and
other things. They're making sure to get Claypool touches other ways because they can't get him the ball down the seams and down the field.
Yeah, the touchdown he caught was basically a 2-yard pass, and he just ran it into the end zone against Baltimore. So that – he's not even looking to throw a 10 to 12 yard pass. He's looking to throw these 3 or 4 yard either slants or quick hits and having the receiver
That game on Monday, right, where Alabama's just kicking those field goals, that's going to be Kansas City. Andy Reid loves, especially with a talent advantage like this, he loves to kick field goals.
He just wants to get points. He just wants points.
Yeah, so the playoff situation keeps under.
Yeah.
I do remember that one playoff game where Kansas City did get cheated. They wanted Pittsburgh to win that game and set up Pittsburgh and New England in the championship game. That game was, 16-14?
Yeah, something like that.
Right. But they had a penalty on Kelsey. There was a phantom call. That was obviously they wanted Pittsburgh to win. But it was 16-14. That's the type of game I see. For all the marbles and Tomlin having a team to win into Buffalo to beat Buffalo. All right. So the last game we're going to look up until Friday night. We'll get more in depth. We got a couple ties to break, right? Two ties Jim will break with Chad. Chad and Jim will collaborate to break the tie. Monday night, man, this is the first time they're doing it. So NFL's in transition. Transitions are always traumatic, especially somebody like me who's creature of habit. So now I have to tell clients to keep things under wraps until a half hour before kickoff. Arizona plus 4 against the Rams. It opened at 50. Bet it now. I like that under a lot. You mean that under? Because the air raid being ball control, both air raid teams and Arizona learned its lesson. So they're bringing in a tight end. And Jim and I, Chad and Scott, we're going to go over 22 personnel on Friday because Kansas City is an air raid team. This is Andy Reid, right? Once you get in between the 20s, which the air raid has a problem, you're going to have to bring in a fullback and a tight end and play 22 personnel. I'll see what Chad thinks about all that. But that's what I feel. If I was coaching, that's what I would do, and that's what Andy Reid does. He'll bring in a couple tight ends. One of them is going to be in the slot, like Kelsey, but Kelsey can block too. The other guy can go out on a pattern and smash it in against you because the air raid inside the 20s has a hard time. And that's the other thing about that Vegas game being under. The worst team in the NFL in the red zone are the Las Vegas Raiders. Even though they run the ball well, they're the worst. So that means that Olsen does not – and Gruden didn't give them to him. Gruden's like, F you, man. I'm not giving you my red zone plays. So it's just been Olsen's red zone plays. They haven't worked, right? So that works to the under over there in that Cincinnati game. Same thing for Arizona. They're one of the worst teams in between the 20s. It's one of those to know and not to do is not to know. So Kingsbury hasn't figured out, even though he has his tight ends and Hurts, and can bring in a fullback to help Connor out, get some space, jumbo formation. He hasn't figured out how to score in the 20s. But he did beat these guys once, but it's a SoFi. So I know the Rams are going to win. So we're going to go Rams money line under 50. And the jury's out on Arizona plus 4. What do you guys think?
I was all set to pick Arizona because of their road success. And then the NFL goes and sticks this on Monday night. So Super Bowl right now is at SoFi, scheduled to be at SoFi. The Rams
was play. This Super Bowl last year?
Super Bowl last year was at Tampa Bay.
If it was the Super Bowl.
Who won it?
Yeah.
Tampa Bay.
So Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. Is LA going to win the Super Bowl in LA?
I don't know if Matt Stafford's going to allow them to win the Super Bowl. I don't know if Matt Stafford's going to allow them to win the Super Bowl this year.
He's not making it look good. He's like, man, you got to make it look good.
Yeah, he's struggling to the finish line here. So hopefully them getting in the playoffs will give him a jolt of energy here to make some right plays and make some key passes. Well,
they're undefeated on the road, right? Or 8-1 on the road.
8-1 on the road. So that's why I was sit to pick Arizona if this was a normal Sunday 4 o'clock game instead of a Monday night game. Because it's clear what the NFL is trying to do here. They're trying
to get the ref assignments for the playoffs.
Right. If you look at the Rams' path to a championship game, it's Monday night, SoFi against Arizona. They win this game. More than likely, it's a date with Tom Brady in the next round at SoFi. Right. So the Rams.
That's almost 25% of the bankroll on the Rams money line.
Yeah, I just think that McVay will do enough, mix the run and pass. I think Stafford will throw a little bit less this week than he has in the past because I think McVay wants to curtail the interception mistakes that Stafford makes. And they were up big against San Francisco and they allowed him to come back and win the game.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Yeah, so
I looked up Clay Martin, the referee, right?
Yeah.
The referee for this game is Clay Martin. He looks like a kiss-ass corporate guy. And he makes $90,000 as a high school administrator. So for me to bribe him, I would just have to pay him about, what, a couple hundred grand? Call this
he has his marching orders in already in line from the NFL and Goodell. They've told him the Rams are winning this game no matter what. So I'm gonna take the Rams probably by a touchdown. And I'm gonna say it goes slightly over. I think right. the past two games with these two teams, 57 and 53 points lead me to believe this is going over. In an indoor controlled environment. So right. I think the Rams are going to win. The Rams cover the spread, and I think it goes over.
Good old Clay Martin. So that's another dispute, right? So I'm going under. You're going over. What do you think?
Plus, before Chad goes, when you think about it, first ever Monday night playoff game, the NFL wants a high scoring game in this situation. They do not want a defensive struggle.
That's a good point. It's a prime time all alone by itself game that we've never had before. That is a great point.
Yeah. So I think the NFL has told the referees, make sure this game is very high scoring and it goes over the total. So it's going to go high 50s, low 60s probably.
Yeah, I
look at the playoffs. How many playoff games have been that high scoring? Go ahead, Chad.
What are you guys are both? What's your guys' sides pick here? You guys are going with the Cardinals or Rams?
I'm going to Rams. I'm going to Rams.
And it's at four.
The game is at
no the spread. You're taking got Rams.
Oh, the spread's four? At four. The spread's four. At four. Four.
And what are you going, Josh? Sidewise.
Sidewise. I haven't decided, but I'm thinking Monday night, right? Got to get people back to work, man. Omicron, people calling in sick. We got to create a blowout. So the Rams, 28-0, halftime. Come back. Arizona scores 10 points, 38 total points. Rams cover in that scenario. So right now I'm doing a hard lean. So right now, I put $1,000 on Rams money line. And right now, I'm leaning towards $1,000 Rams minus four, $1,000 under whatever it balloons to, because I think it's going to be higher than 52, which is the key number. So I'm going to go under whatever it balloons to, which I'm thinking might be 52, 53. Now, if everybody's thinking the way Scott is, which I hope they are, then it'll go up to 60. Right, or whatever. So if it gets something crazy like that, it'll be an easy under for me. Because this is the playoffs, and people kind of understand that people play in the playoffs a little bit more conservative. In Arizona is a joke. And per capita income in Arizona is like maybe 23,000, 24,000. Per capita income in LA is $100,000. So the per capita income in Los Angeles is almost 10 times what it is in Arizona. Arizona already, the Bidwell family already has a stadium. Low travel costs for this game, right? Because it's just around the corner. Some of the guys live in LA. Some Arizona guys are already in LA at their house, and you're going to meet them at the game, right?
And I'll give you another point to this. What does the NFL want in week two of the playoffs? Brady in SoFi against the Rams.
What are the ratings for that game? And Brady already got the house in
Malibu. Aren't the Bucks the 2 seed?
No, the Bucks are the 3 seed. The Rams. Oh, really? Oh, wait a minute. No, the Bucks are the 2 seed. That's right.
Yeah, they're going to Tampa.
They're going to Tampa. Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Rams at Tampa.
Yeah, you know, Rams at Tampa.
On this game right now, I'm going to wait and definitely see where these lines go and get more research in. I have a strong lean to the Rams minus four. I think the Rams will win this game by a touchdown. The total, though, I'm going back and forth. I think Scott has a great point with it being a primetime Monday game by itself. I definitely think that's something to consider. You know, the familiarity of playing for a third time makes me think under, but maybe with offensive coaches, maybe that means, maybe with a McDermott and a Belichick, that means under, but maybe with a McVay and a Kingsbury, that means over. Yeah. Right. Because they have,
but Kingsbury doesn't have the, I would agree with you. If DeAndre Hopkins was walking through the door, right. If AJ Green wasn't crazy, if I'd seen them now, they hadn't been going. Two things, right? Murray has to run in this game. Unless it's fixed. They got a medal from Goodell. Murray has to have his running shoes on.
Yeah.
Number two, they haven't been going to Zach Hurts as much as I would thought. Because it's a mismatch out there in the slot. Right, Jimmy Graham style with Zach Hurts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They haven't been going to him, right? So the best defensive line in the NFL is in Arizona. Vance Joseph wants some of that Kirby Smart money, right? Vance Joseph is a very, very good defensive coordinator. Kingsbury wants to keep that Vance Joseph defense fresh. So he's going to use the air raid for ball control, not try to score. So that's what's going to keep this game on. And then McVay is McVay. Who's McVay? We'll go back to corporate governance here. Who is McVay's lineage, their daddy, if you will, right? So that's really what's going to keep the Cincinnati game under, all right? Because McVay comes from Andy Reid. Same thing last game. That's why you can pick these games and have such high level of success, because it's the same game. The same game plan he has for Pittsburgh is the same game plan he's going to have for Vance Joseph in Arizona. Same game plan he's going to have for Mr. Quinn in Seattle. Same stuff, right? Same defense, Mr. McDermott over there, Buffalo, against Billy Belichick, right?
Yeah, so I guess I'll close with it. With a strong lean to the Rams minus four, and I'm going right. I think this line is going to go up. So, you know, if we get on the north side of 50, I'm going to look to come back to the under. That's where I'm at right now with this game.
Right.
Not saying I won't change my thinking, but that's lean to the under and the Rams is where I'm at with this one right now.
Right.
And it's gone down half a point. So, yeah, like Chad said, get it now.
Get it now.
It's going to go up. It's going to go up.
Yeah.
Get it now.
If you like the over, definitely bet it now.
Yeah.
All right. So, feel very excited about this. I love going through this process because my mind has changed on some things, solidified some others. And then Friday, we'll come back and Chad and Jim will huddle up and come in with some tiebreakers. I saw one play of the Pac-12 game, and I told these guys exactly the way it was going to go. So have some witnesses here. Let me see. On the Twitter, we'll have four Pac-12 games that will give you the winners to break down as we are now on a Pac-12 roll. At least I am. Yep. And the chat is too.
I went 7-1 today in college hoops. 7-1. Had a day.
So Friday, might give them some MEAC or the MAAC games.
Yeah.
We got Manhattan and Iona. We'll give you the Manhattan. No, it's going to be too late. So we'll give you some Saturday games. Maybe there's some Pac-12 Saturday games.
Yeah, I'm looking at Iona in that spot. That looks like I haven't really researched it too much yet, but that caught my eye. Iona's at home, I believe, right?
Right. I gave you guys my Steve Massiano story. Patino and Steve Massiano love each other. Or at least, they love each other. Like the movie Off. On Friday, we'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Pac-12 games. And the money is just as green on these Saturday Pac-12 games as they are in the playoff games. So I'm going to bet them equal amounts. I encourage you to do so as well. Guys, final thoughts before we complete everything. And I'll put a schedule up on Twitter and on the website. I'll do it right now to finish. Anna permitting, or when I get up in the morning. But it looks like Friday night, Jim is going to break the ties and give us more information. Live stream half hour before the first game, right, to go online changes. And then in between the games, we might come back for live stream pretty much every day, pretty much Saturday, Sunday, and now Monday for that balloon line, because I really think the Rams minus four, get that now, because that might, you know, that's going to balloon a little bit. And then that under 50, if you like the over in that game, bet it now, because that might balloon past 52, which is the key number. We'll be giving you college basketball. I'll focus on the Pac-12, WCC, and Big West, and Chad's going to give you everything else. Chad, we'll give you the whole board. Yep. Yep. The Southland's FCS Division conference.
I got you on it.
She has been talking about it, but you get a bid for the NCAA.
The Southland, the Horizon League, and Missouri Valley, baby. Those are my three.
Yeah, I'm not above it when Stephen B. Austin was plus 41 against Duke last year. I bet some Austin because I didn't have a team. Stephen Hoffman actually beat Duke.
Yeah,
there was no money line pick for that. But
Who's following Idaho?
I'll be on Mountain West. I had UNLV minus six last night. They killed them, but I'll be on Mountain West. I don't know about Idaho.
I'm usually Mountain West, but I
want to hear the scouting report on Idaho.
Well, when do they play next? I'll watch them
against Idaho State. I just looked it up.
They play tomorrow.
When is it, the Big Sky?
Friday or Saturday? The Big Sky.
Yeah, I haven't watched any Big Sky yet.
Yeah, I don't. Montana, that's a little out of my range,
Montana,
too.
Montana just passes it around, and they can hit the threes, like, whatever. And when Steve Alford was the coach, it was plus 30 they covered.
Give it to Dylan.
Almost won the game.
Give the Big Sky to Dylan. Tell him he's going to look at the Big Sky. See what
I will say. The SEC.
So we keep him on the East Coast. We give him the Patriot League. Actually, the Patriot League is closer to where you're at.
Yeah,
it is. From Northeastern.
What do they call the conference Iona's in? They call that the Metro Atlantic.
MAAC, I think.
MAAC, not the MAC. Right. The MAC.
We'll close the podcast with Winston Churchill. You make a living from your labor, but you're making life from what you live. From what you give, we'll be back on Friday.
The Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Bull. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thank you for joining the ESBC podcast, which the purpose of the podcast is to make me money. The reason I say that is to be authentic and transparent. You have so many people lying to you. You have the big lie, you know, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and politicians. And I'm doing this for you. Politicians say, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for the people. No, you're doing it for the kickbacks. You're doing it for the campaign contributions. You're doing it for the money. And that's what we do here. We do it for the money. However, we teach you business and financial concepts so you do not get killed in your 401k. You don't get killed by inflation. You don't get cheated on business deals. You know what's going on. And, right? We give you picks at a high percentage, better than what you can pay for.
That's why this sport don't cost $800, and that costs $200. And I don't know what that costs, I'd be ashamed to work. That's why.